Coming up on TMS, I had all I could stands.
I can't stands no more. Trump doxed Graham.
There is a secret menu after all.
Google knows exactly where you've been.
Twitter stripped your walls clean.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hey, Rose. Gosh darn bee wants to tempt old Black Bart's tummy.
With the taste of nuts and honey, it's part of this nutritious breakfast.
Know how to sing.
Bee. I'm gonna tempt your tummy with a taste of nuts and honey. It's honey of an O.
You know, Black Bart, these O's ain't half bad.
Honey and nuts, huh?
Woohoo!
Somebody tell him to stop singing, bee.
Oh, Bart.
The morning stream.
My friend, stay a while and listen.
This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short. It's Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015. Let's check the clock. Hold on a second here. Nerdtacular.com says, it tells me that we are 8 days, 7 hours, 55 minutes, and 54 seconds away.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Very exciting news.
Yeah. One week from today, I'll be driving out like a week from today.
Oh, that's right. You'll be in a car probably.
I will be in a car.
Yeah. Are you a get up and leave early guy when you drive somewhere?
I am. I like to, if I'm going somewhere, I like to get there as soon as possible so I can relax and enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. You want
I'm not one of these like, I'm going to sleep in and then, yeah, we'll get in the car when we get in the car.
Yeah, and I don't like driving at night.
Like, oh, no, me neither.
Big highways and freeways and stuff, so yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't stand that. Yeah, I'm much to the, what used to be the chagrin of my buddy Don, because we do the Vegas trip every year for Tacoma.
Right.
And this first couple of years, I'm like, all right, well, can you be up here at about like, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock? He's like, what, really? Like, well, yeah, you know, I want to get there. I don't want to be like in the car at 6-7 o'clock at night, like driving and waiting to get there. I want to get there.
Yeah. Anyway, he is prone to not like that early time. Is that his deal?
He didn't used to. And then after the first year or two,
yeah.
And I think 1 year where I kowtowed to him on the way back, and he's like, well, how about if we just, you know, On the day we're driving back, how about we just have kind of a leisurely morning, maybe have a nice breakfast somewhere, blah, 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 and then we'll leave after that. I'm like, all right, you know what? Fine. I'm totally cool with that.
Sure.
And so we did that, and we ended up getting back at midnight. Oh. It was pouring rain. We got back to his car, and it was an outside parking lot. Mm. And ever since then, he's like, yeah, what time you want me up there? 7:30? Perfect. I'll be there.
Is that the, that's not the, is that the August thing you're doing?
It is the thing. I'm doing the week after. And this year, instead of being just me and Don in the car, I'm going to have Uncle George with me as well. So all three of us packed in the Kia Soul with all our belongings. The 10-hour drive out to Vegas, which will be a blast. But before any of that can happen,
yeah,
we got to make the 8-hour drive out to Salt Lake City for beautiful to beautiful Snowbird.
Yeah, you got like 20 hours of driving ahead of you, man.
Between both trips,
yeah.
It's like 36 hours of driving.
That's like you're like the pilgrims coming to the freaking new new world in the 1700s.
And I come home from Nerdtacular. We drive back on whatever it is, you know, whatever day it is, and then I'm here for like 2 days, and then I turn right around and drive back out.
Back the same direction.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good times. Yeah. Well,
I wish there was a way I could have worked it so that. You know, Tina flew back and I just kept the car out there and I had a couple extra days of Vegas or something, but
sure. Didn't work out that way.
No.
Plans don't always go the way we want, but I can tell you this, folks, if you help us out at our Patreon, patreon.com/TMS, and support us there, that's a good thing, because for this 36 hours of driving Brian has to do, sometimes that takes a little bit of gas money. It helps us out a lot. So
yes,
go over there.
It totally does.
All right. Patreon.com/TMS. All right. I got a story to tell you. Look, I'm no, community warrior. Okay. I'm not one to take a stand, get on a soapbox and tell somebody they're doing it wrong. Typically.
Mm-hmm.
My lifestyle and my overall sort of, approach to life is live and let live. If you're not hurting someone, you do what you got to do. You know, that's my thing. I think I've made that clear on the show before. If I haven't, let me just reiterate it like I just did. However, Brian, sometimes somebody poops in my Cheerios and I have to go to the mat. Okay.
And that's when the little, what is it? The little silicone switch inside your head gets flicked to overload.
Yep.
Is that the,
it goes flick. You hear the sound. It's like an audible click sound, almost like, Felicity's in the third Mission Impossible movie and have clicked over, except that killed her, so that's a bad example. I can't think of an example, but you can hear it. You can hear like a little fleshy little, like a little something moves, sure. And I lose sure. it. So I'm in a Walmart, okay? I know we try not right? to be in those, but I was in one.
Yeah.
Whatever, Walmart's fine. They have things you need, so you go there to get them. It's fine.
Sure.
I'm in a Walmart, and I'm in an aisle, and I'm looking at dog food. Because I'm thinking, she's getting old enough. Maybe we move her up to the next step of dog food,
like graduate to the medium sized kibble.
Sure, something that's just less puppy-ish or whatever. Because the ones right. she has now are these just little tiny discs, and she's getting to be, you know, she's 6 months old, and I don't know what that is in dog years, like 4 or 5 years old or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm up and down this aisle doing stuff and checking prices and looking at, you know, brands and all this, and I'm marveling at how expensive some of that stuff is. It's like, holy crap, dog food. What a racket is what I'm thinking.
It really is, yeah.
And while I'm doing this, and I'm totally focused on the task at hand, I see two things happen. I see some kids laughing and like jerking around and being real just loud. And I don't know why they're doing this on this aisle. And I look ahead of them and I see this very nice elderly lady who's just doing her shopping, who's clearly got Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
So she's very shaky. Her hands are shaking quite a bit. She's moving a lot. Her neck won't kind of hold still. It's clearly Parkinson's. I mean, I've seen it before and I know what I'm looking at. And I look back at these kids and they're probably 16, 17. Mm-hmm. One of them has a little goatee. So I know he's, you know, old enough to grow a little fuzz on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And they are making fun of this lady. They're going, dude, look at me. Just doing this thing, right?
Oh, man. Oh.
Brian, the switch went off.
Yeah, good, as it should have, man. Holy crap.
It went thunk, and I went, hey, like that.
Really?
Yeah, just same tone. I went, hey, and they kind of stopped in their tracks, kind of jerked them a little bit, and they looked around at me, and I said, what do you guys think you're doing? And I'm being loud, and there are other people around, and I'm not even realizing how pissed this made me. I mean, it really incensed me.
Right.
And all these people looked at me, including the lady, who, you know, was just down there trying to mind her own business and do her thing. And I said, that is the least freaking cool thing you could ever do. And I said, if I ever catch you or anybody like you doing that again, I will come over there and I will punch you in the face. I said it that loud. Now, I don't know if there are any parents around of these kids, but immediately my brain went to like, oh, you're threatening minors in a public place.
I like how you bring in anyone like you.
Yeah.
If you or anyone like you, if I ever see you or anyone like you ever doing this, oh my God, now we got to watch out for people like us and make sure they don't do it either.
And they just stood there and stared at me like a couple of trees. They didn't say anything.
Oh, sure.
And I said, do you hear me? Like that. I mean, I was red in the face, leaning toward them. Very aggressive stance, I noticed about myself.
Yeah.
And this is not me normally. I don't do this. I don't freak out. This is why my kids always say they're never as scared as when I'm mad because it's so rare. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in your average family, dad might go, all right, you guys, knock it off or we're turning around. I don't do that very often.
Sure.
So when I do go, Nick, you told me last night, like that voice, a little poo comes out. He just can't deal with it. So I think that's what I put on here. And there was none of my family or nobody around to help share in this. Or to back me up or anything. So for all I knew, some parent was going to run to a guard and go, he's threatening my child or whatever. So all these things are going through my head. But damn it, I do it again. And I just about went over there and smacked those kids. I just about went over there and went, you little bastards. She's just this sweet old lady with a thing she can't help. Your job in this life is to help her not be a giant dick.
Exactly.
I was so mad. And it made me realize it's ever a problem. Like, you have to, for people to mature to a point where they don't do this, it's almost like they have to experience this on some level.
It has to touch them personally, right? Like there has to be some sort of personal connection or.
Yeah, they either have to know somebody who's gone through it, they have to have a grandparent who died from it, or they have to have a guy like me yell at them and shock them. Because that's the only way they're going to know. And maybe as soon as I left, they went right back to doing it. I don't know. But I stood there for a good long time. Good long time looking at
it. As soon as you left, they switched over to, hey, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick you. Anybody like you? I'm going to smack you in the face.
They switched to me. And then the old lady went, hey! Yeah, it's just this continuing cycle. But I don't know. You know, I'm always fascinated, irritated, frustrated, and sometimes enlightened by the way internet culture works. And we're always trying to figure out the culture of trolling and anger and why people would say such terrible things anonymously and all that.
Right.
And I realize it's just an extension of what people do in real life. And 90% of the time, even though you can't see who they are, and even if they talk like they seem like they're older or more mature, or they have a broader education or something, oftentimes these are just like 14, 16-year-old kids who are just being jackanapes online. And these are just real-life versions of that.
It's funny because usually it's like the anonymity, right, is their safety net. Here they're doing it practically in front of the person, but they feel like she's, you know.
Yeah, and she was far away enough that she wasn't actually probably hearing it or seeing it.
Good, good.
But they were
She certainly was aware when you let in.
I was so mad. And she didn't say, you know, she just looked nervous and kind of went the other direction. And that's fine. I didn't need her to come over and go, oh, thank you for standing up for my honor or any of that. I just was, so full of rage. I can kind of get why people, it's weird. And I don't want to say that no matter what the situation, you always have control, right? You should be able to control yourself and not let things escalate too much. But I can kind of, you get a taste of what it's like when that kind of rage fills you. Even if it's this quote unquote, I'm doing it because that's the right thing to do kind of rage, you can see why people lose it, you know, like fly off the handle and hurt somebody. Because I felt like doing that. I was like, you little turd, come here with your freaking stupid hair and your freaking pizza face and just
chin
come
beard
here.
And your
I just want to pound you into submission, dude. I wanted to knock the shit out of this kid. That's how I felt. And I didn't. And I don't think I would. Even if they would have like barked back at me. I don't know. I don't know how that would have gone. if they would have like taken some stand, but I think I scared the hell out of them.
Yeah, I think you did.
I'd say hey! And I'm 6'4", dude. I'm a tall guy.
You're an imposing figure to those who don't know you.
Yeah, and I'm in my jogging stuff and I had finished running and had my headphones around my neck and my hair was just raw, just like brah everywhere. So I think I looked a little surly.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how that went down. My point even sharing the story is, don't let kids make fun of old ladies. Just go out there and freaking stand up for the old lady, gosh dang it. Because nobody else in there was. There were other people in that aisle. They were hearing it. I'm just dutifully looking for the catch-up. Just look for the catch-up. Focus on the catch-up. Nah, you bastards. You got to back her up. Anyway, Brian?
Yes, sir.
It's out of my system. I'm fine now. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Let's call Daryl.
All right.
It's very exciting.
It's very distressing.
Very distressing to call Daryl. Let's get him on the line. Here's his theme. Here we go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
If you would like to help Irish artist and illustrator John Tweedy to kickstart his career, then head over to johntweedy.net, where you can download a free illustrated ebook, look at some images, or even buy a beautiful painting. That's johntweedy.net, johntweedie.net.
Well, there you have it. Go check that out. Daryl, are you there?
Don't make Hulk Scott mad.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's a rare thing. And I noticed when I left, by the way, there's something else. Just physiologically, I'm paying heightened attention to how I'm feeling after this ends. And I am shaking. Like,
right.
Not
that adrenaline.
Yeah, it's not like a scared shake, but like just a raw, like, freaking.
Give me a punching bag.
I had to pee really bad.
I don't think he was speaking Japanese.
No.
The secret ingredient. Scott, Scott, basically, you almost saw Scott's explosive tip.
Yeah, you almost did. It's explosive tip! Like a Japanese anime. But I had to pee real bad. That I remember. I had to pee really bad after I was done. Anyway, Daryl is here. Daryl's the Trek nerd. He's on the show. Daryl Skeels comes on the show, answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek. You guys know the drill. Let's do it again today. Daryl, how you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah. I'm doing good.
Good, good. We'll see you in a week and a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah, think of that.
About a week and a day, right? You'll probably get there Thursday?
Yep. Early on Thursday.
Yeah, I get there early Thursday morning to start setting up. And I think I will, Ibbot, Patrick, Terpster, and a few others will already be there. I'm sure a bunch of others will be there. But those
of us will probably be hungover on Thursday morning.
Yeah. Do a little bit of drinking the night before. Don't bring your own booze. All right. Next question. Oh, Daryl, let's do your question. Here's a Star Trek question for you. All right. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to try. Kaelor was Worf's girlfriend. I don't know how you say her name. It's
Kaelor.
Oh, is it just Kaelor? Yeah. It's Kaelor. That looks like Kaelor. Anyway, Kaelor was Worf's girlfriend and also the mother of Alexander. She was half human and half Klingon. What episode does Kaelor make her first appearance?
Ooh,
and this is all going to be
a number question.
These are all going to be names of episodes that sound very much like Klingon episodes. A.
Honor.
They're just all honor, A through D.
That's right.
A. Reunion. B. The emissary. C. Manhunt. Or D. The bonding. So that's Reunion, The Emissary, Manhunt, or The Bonding. It's one of those. Think about that real hard, Daryl, while we do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
Brian, we still have Kit Kats.
We do.
From Japan.
We have two flavors left.
I have three here.
Oh, three flavors left, yeah.
So the one I was thinking would be interesting is the oddest one in here is you've got a pink one with zero imagery to tell us what's in it.
That must be this one right here. Yes. Okay.
And the others all have like a cartoon or a little background to indicate what it is or something.
But it does give you the thumbs up on the back, right?
Let's see. Oh, well, then it must be good.
Actually, maybe it's a thumbs down. If you keep the Kit Kat logo vertical and you turn the Kit Kat around.
This is the worst one we make.
This is thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
On which one? The pink one?
The pink one. Yeah, pink.
My pink one doesn't have the thumbs pointing any direction.
On the back?
Oh, really? What does it have on the back? Do you have a little place to write?
Yeah, there's the place to write. And then under that, there's Japanese writing.
Sure enough. Yeah, I've got some in here that have the thumb and some of them that have the little writing area.
Do we win something for having the thumb?
No.
Are they thumb flavored?
They are thumb flavored. Pink thumb flavored.
These are thumb-flavored.
All right, let's open those up. I don't know what voice I'm doing. Ooh, lovely smell. It smells like my grandmother. Kind of has
grandmother. We've learned so much about your grandmother's smells.
She always smelled like a jar of candy to me, that woman. She was great. She was the one that would sit and play Space Invaders. We had a full cabinet Space Invaders in the house when I was growing up, and she would sit there and play that for like 5 hours. She was awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. She was in her 80s then, man. Okay. Smart as a whip when she died. She had cancer. But so smart. Here we go. Let's take a bite. Oh, this is all like gnarly.
Very.
Yeah. Is yours gnarly, Brian? Like all kind of like crusty and a thousand things growing out of it and like tumors?
Yeah, like bumpy and has dark spots to it and stuff like that.
All right, that's good. We probably should get that looked at. All right, here we go. I don't know what to expect with this one. Oh, that's odd.
Yeah.
Oh.
It vacillates between terrible and kind of okay.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's funny because this is probably the most pedestrian of all the flavors I brought back.
What is it?
Raspberry.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that from it.
It's like soap and I don't know what else. Hey, I don't like that one. It keeps going back and forth, though. It's like, there's a flavor that's not bad. Oh, no. Go the other way. Okay. Phew. Oh, no. Like that. Yeah, I don't like it. That's not my favorite.
Yeah.
It's terrible and wonderful. Once.
It's funny because it feels like there should be more flavor at points, right? Like it's almost more fragrant than it is flavorful.
Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. You've said it well. You nailed it, Brian. You nailed it.
So thumbs down.
Thumbs way down, but thumbs way up for this. Daryl, what's your, what's today in Trek history? What happened?
Oh, let's see. Back on this day in 1991, it was the third day of filming on the TNG episode Darmok.
Ah, at Gillard with the when the walls fell. I know the one.
Mm-hmm.
With his arms wide.
Wide.
With Captain Terrell from Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, he turned the phaser on himself. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Zapped himself out of existence and...
Oh, there's something in my ear. Ow!
Oh, there's an earwig the size of a gopher in my ear. Oh, no. Didn't they try
I have this thing about my ear.
Didn't they have that in the reboot? In the 2009, the Romulans put one of those in the Arabic captain's ear. Didn't they?
Did they? I need to see that again.
I must have missed
pretty
that.
Pretty sure during that opening George Kirk sequence, when he got pulled over, or maybe it wasn't George Kirk, but that captain guy got pulled over to... Oh, now I got to remember this. Yeah, he got pulled over to the Romulan ship. Eric Bana, with his pointy ears, had a cage there. He dipped in there and got one of those bugs out and put it in his ear and made the captain like do his bidding or something. Mm. Didn't this chat room? Come on, back
I believe
up.
That. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, wow. They're having a conversation I don't want to know about.
In the chat room?
Yeah, jeez.
Oh,
geez.
God, no.
What's happening in there?
I looked over and saw one response. I'm thinking, okay, well, they're not listening to us, clearly. They're on something else.
It was Pike, and I guess it was it the second movie? Or was it the first movie where Pike was over there? Because Pike went over...
Right, but Pike wasn't around for most of the second movie.
Hmm. Yeah. Now that you mention it,
the beginning.
Yeah, but did he die? Was that when he died? When he had a thing in his ear?
No, he was shot by the Cumberbatch in a
Cumberbatch.
He was shot by a Bumberbatch.
Oh, they had a photo. I heard a photo got leaked of the set. Did you see that, Daryl? There was some.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of that? That looks all right.
Yeah, looks good. I like the alien.
I'm going to make a note here.
People are saying first movie.
Let me take a look here. Star Trek 3 video features aliens and props. Don't care about that. Where's the photo? Star Trek 3, what we know so far. Okay, I just want to see that real quick.
You dreamed it now. Now I'm thinking you this didn't happen.
This director is the guy that made... Okay. I know what's going on. He's Fast and Furious guy. All right. Anyway, back to the show. Back to the show, everyone.
Okay.
Daryl, let's go back. Let's go back in time to when I asked you a question about what episode this Worf's girlfriend thing showed up in.
Okay, when did Kalar show up?
Yeah. And she wasn't one of the two ladies, right? The two Klingon ladies that were always in trouble. She's not one of those. Batar and with the boobies out. They always had their boobies out. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The two Klingon sisters.
Ladies and, oh,
they were always traveling
around
and getting in trouble. They were in a movie or two, and then they were also in a bunch of TNG episodes. They were in some TNG movies, I guess. Like
I don't know.
First Contact or something. I don't remember their names. Batar and Baklar or something. Something like that. And they had no honor, I'm sure.
No.
No honor. You are without honor.
They were without honor.
It's like Worf's Gaydar, right? It's his Honordar.
Yeah, his Honordar.
You have honor. Yep. You are without honor.
Here's my impression of a Klingon airport. You ready?
Yeah.
Please make sure your honor is with you at all times and you do not leave your honor unattended. Thank you.
There you go.
Very good.
Yeah. Go ahead, Daryl. Deliberate.
Okay. Reunion. Who was in reunion? A reunion of who?
Klingon High School.
Maybe a reunion of Worf and his girlfriend.
Hey, maybe they touched hands and had a baby from it.
Well, if it's a reunion, that must have been there was a union in the first place.
Sure.
Isn't that what they do, though? They hold hands and then babies come? That was their sex, right?
Oh, Scott, do we need to have the talk?
No, they did. The Klingons
kind of was like that.
Yeah,
I thought it was just a lot of screaming, and then they pan away and go look at the vase rattling on the table. And
no, there's no wiener vajayjay in that show. There was like they would hold hands, and their hands would bleed really bad, and that would somehow impregnate. I can't remember.
Google, how do Klingons reproduce?
Anything.
Okay, Google.
Whoa, that worked. Did you hear that?
Yeah,
it was on mine. Here, I'll do it right now.
That's what I'm saying, but I mean, it picked up my...
Your bleep? No, I think it was my bleep that went off, because my browser hears you say things.
That's what I'm saying. I said it, but it was your browser responding to me saying it, not your browser, like,
correct,
from you clicking something.
So gotcha. I'm going to ask it. Here we go. Oops, wait. Okay, Google. Cancel. It's not working. All right, forget it. How does a Klingon... reproduce.
Oh, there's actually a video of it on Pornhub. Let me check this out.
Gross. Klingon mating rituals.
This looks like it was filmed at Comic-Con.
I'm trying to find.
So yeah, they begin by sniffing the other's right arm or hand. Then each grips the other's right hand as to cause bleeding.
Yeah.
But that's part of the mating ritual. It's not.
Now I want to know what show that was. That one's on.
Well.
Now Daryl's really interested.
Well, maybe it's the episode of this thing.
No, it's not TNG. I don't think.
No,
it's
Deep Space Nine, The House of Quark.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
not to be confused with IHOP 9, The House of Pancakes.
Meat for life. It doesn't say. It just says that they do this with their hand.
Let's see. It was not uncommon to break multiple bones during Klingon amorous play. In fact, fracturing a clavicle on the wedding night was even considered a blessing on the marriage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it happened to Dax.
Yeah.
She showed up to work day with the sling, right?
That's a raw deal.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we've learned something today. Or really learned nothing. all right. So... What? Scott makes a Tad's phone beer? What's that? Scott makes a Tad's phone beer.
Scott makes a Tad. What is that? Is that in the chat room?
Yeah, they say it's a bingo square.
Quit getting distracted by... Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, Scott makes a Tad's phone beer.
It's probably doing a Siri thing like, hey, Siri.
Did that work?
It worked on me.
Oh. Okay, Google. Hold on. Now I'm irritated. I want to figure this out. Okay, Google.
Beep is what that should be. Makes a Tad's phone beep.
According to Wikipedia, that beep is a single by Architecture in Helsinki that debuted at number 82 on the Australian ARIA Singles Chart. The single was included on...
All right, Google.
Oh, I can do this anytime, can't I?
No, only if I have a Google search up. So it has to... Okay, it can't just be any old page. I don't think. Let's just try it again. Okay, Google. Yeah, it's not...
All right. I just triggered a bunch of people's series, including Civs.
Scott is trying to make his phone beer. Yeah, I don't know what you guys are talking about. All right, whatever. Oh, beep. Beep.
Yeah, beep.
Oh,
yeah.
They mistyped it. All right.
Yes.
Phone beer coming this spring.
I said that. Even Google heard me when I said, I think they mean beep. And then they talked to me about the song Something Beep by Adventures in Helsinki.
Yeah, which is great since you're a music guy. I think that turned out good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Daryl, sorry.
Do they open for the Decemberists?
Yeah, always. That's the hipster
way. Well, they weren't at the show I was at a few days ago.
Did I tell you guys I was... So I made a comment on Twitter. I don't know why I just brought this up. But I had made some joke about hipster millennials and knocking their neat dudes hat or neat dude hats off their heads because I hate those neat dude hats.
I haven't even seen neat dude hats.
Yeah, they're these hats that say, it's a brand that says neat dude. They make shirts, hats, and it's just some brand.
Oh, those need to go away already.
I don't like
it. I haven't even seen them.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but it's very, you know, hey, we're aiming at the 21-year-old market, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're like trucker hats with neat dude on them. Anyway, I made this comment, ha, 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 whatever. I get a tweet from the co-founder of Neat Dude who says, I think anyone who uses the term hipster millennials needs to have his hat knocked off or something like that. So we had a whole conversation and we made up in the end. We had a Twitter hug, or as we called it, a twug.
Nice, good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Good. And Dice Tomato, by the way, that probably should be labeled not safe for work.
Yeah. What is it? Something he put in
it's
there?
It's a naked Klingon photo.
Oh.
You don't want to click it.
I did and I regret it. I regret it. That is not right, what I just
witnessed. But he made up for it with the next one he sent. It's a Klingon holding a cardboard sign next to a street that says, "Will not kill you for food."
With not underlined. That's great. That's awesome.
That's I had to describe that one for our listening audience.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they're here. They're listening. Daryl, sorry. Reunion, the emissary, okay. Manhunt, or the bonding. I don't know what happened to us, but we went off the rails.
Brian said, don't listen or don't be distracted. And then you were totally distracted.
Completely.
And then he jumped in and was distracted with you.
Big time.
Yes, I did. I joined my distracting powers with Scott's and we formed a giant Voltron of distraction.
That's right. Little tigers of distraction.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to say not reunion.
Okay.
because otherwise it would be a union. And why, if it was the reunion, it would be the second one, not the first one.
Ah, interesting deduction there. All right.
And then I have no idea, so I'm just going to guess. Emissary manhunt bonding.
Mm-hmm.
Bonding. You wouldn't bond with someone you didn't know. So you have to get to know that person first. So, manhunt. You'd be on the hunt for a man. And emissary, I don't know what to make of that. So I guess I'll choose that.
You'll choose the emissary? Because you don't just, know, because there's no weird other thing to say about it?
Yeah.
Okay. I like what you're thinking.
Your powers of deduction.
They're astounding, really.
Stones.
All right, let's find out. Is it that?
Congratulations.
Oh,
it is.
You're a winner.
It totally is. Daryl's been doing this all week. The Emissary.
Way to back into it.
First appears in The Emissary, comes aboard the Enterprise on a mission to intercept a Klingon sleeper ship that was sent out before the Klingons and Federation made peace with each other. She, of course, runs into Worf. Here's a clip of them fighting. Here you go.
Knowing their mission might help us understand them.
There is nothing to understand. These are Klingons. They'll attack. In their minds, we're the enemy. And there's no way we're going to talk them out of that.
And I do not appreciate being interrupted.
And I do not appreciate wasting my time.
We were instructed to come up with options.
There aren't any. The assignment's hopeless.
Now sniff my back of my hand and let's do it. Wow. That's some intense acting there from some Klingon folk. Daryl, good job. Congratulations. You got it right. That means you are 100% so far this week. You have tomorrow to prove that you... are not the weakest link. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast, and he will now play a game with us. What is it?
Okay, is this an actual TOS episode title in Japanese or an anime title?
The intro! All right.
Love it.
Okay. Which one will we do? How about this one? Huge Monster in Space.
Huge
huge monster in space.
That's a good one. Huge monster in space.
Well, you know my feeling on this now. I've told you my my perspective.
Yeah.
I'm really, really tempted to just say, you know what? Let's just say it's Star Trek for the rest of the week.
Yeah, it feels like we could do that and get
but
away with it.
But if we tell him we're going to do that, then all of a sudden he's going to throw an anime one in there and it's going to totally upset the apple cart.
But that still, in theory, means today's is a Star Trek episode because he hasn't changed it yet.
Right. He's not aware of our new strategy, which we might change tomorrow.
Yeah, you never know, Daryl. Be on your toes. Right. So we're gonna say Star Trek episode because I feel like there's no way there is an anime called Giant. What was it? Giant space monster?
Giant monster in space.
Yeah, that sucks. That's real bad. I know they make some bad names. You know, like what does Cowboy Bebop even mean? I get it. But yeah, I think Star Trek, because that just sounds like a weird translation to me. What do you say?
Okay. Well, yesterday you kind of led me to believe that you were onto this of everything being Star Trek. Mm-hmm. So I came up with some anime ones to throw in here, but that wasn't today.
I ended up not using
the Doomsday Machine.
We knew it. Fine, we got one right. We can celebrate.
Did, yes. Like, now, what will we do tomorrow? Is the question? We'll trick him. We're gonna double blind him.
That's a damn fine question. All right, where are we? News.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville, where today we're going to go back in time. We're going to go back in time 30 years, back to 1985, and see what the number one through number like 25, I don't know. We're going to see what the top Billboard songs were for that day, but we're not going to listen to those. We're going to listen to covers of those. Mm. By the way, number 14 on the list and number 3 on the list were both covers. They were covers that were big hits for their artists, Paul Young and Every Time You Go Away, which was a cover of Hall & Oates, and Power Station, Get It On, Bang A Gong, which was a cover of T-Rex. We're not even going to listen to those covers. We're going to listen to new covers of those.
Whoa.
All this and more on Coverville today, too.
Was it
Every Time You Go Away? That's the one.
Okay. Yes. What was the movie for? What was the movie there?
That
was
well, all right. There was they used another cover of it, which I would say is a crappy cover of it at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's the one. It's yes. not a good cover. You're right.
It is not a good cover.
I mean, I think it works. The tone of the song works for the moment.
The tone of the song, but they just needed to find a better version of it that's not sappy 90s keyboard. Mm-hmm. Or 80s keyboard.
What's good is they didn't have the voice of the actual cover of the song. The singing of it didn't kick in until after
yes.
the credits started to roll. So they showed they had the deer 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 deer. They had all that going right. while John Candy shows up to the house, sees the hot wife, you know, all that, and then it pulls away from the house. Then the credits start, and then
freeze
that
frames on
song.
John Candy's face.
Oh yeah, freeze frame. Face. I forgot it freeze framed. Totally did.
It seemed like the weirdest place for a freeze frame. Like, and then he died. Then Del Griffith died.
Yep, that was the end of that.
I choked on a shower curtain.
I love that movie so much. I reviewed it for our high school paper.
Oh, wow.
That's how weird that was.
That's funny. You did movie reviews too for your
I
high
did.
School
did
paper?
You do that?
I did.
Oh, look at us.
I got an award for my review of Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, wow. The movie, yeah. The Little Shop of Horrors movie.
The Little Shop of Horrors movie, yeah.
I did, so my two claims to fame are the ones that people thought were my best. Well, I did a comic in the paper, but I also reviewed movies and reviewed concerts. So I reviewed the 5150 Van Halen tour that year.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And I got in trouble because a friend of mine who was a big Van Halen fan, I used the term Van Heflin in the review as a joke. I don't remember what the context was, and he was mad at me for like a year for that. Anyway, Donald Trump in the news.
All right.
Donald
Trump. Oh, really? That guy? Wow. He's so publicity shy that it's weird to hear him be at the forefront of anything.
Very strange.
China.
But he's here and he's got stuff to say.
All right.
He doxed. Do you know what doxing is, Brian? Doxing?
I kind of do. Yeah. I mean, it's just exposing somebody, like giving up personal information online, right?
Basically, it's the internet-based practice of, and I'll give you the exact definition here. The internet-based practice of researching and broadcasting personally identifiable information about an individual.
This That's so different from what I said.
Yeah. mine had big words in it. people use it for all sorts of hacktivism and cyber vigilantism and other things like that. So it's kind of a mean thing to do, and
right,
people don't like
right.
it. Well, Donald Trump doxed. He denied Lindsey Graham service. No, he doxed Lindsey Graham on live TV at a campaign event in South Carolina on Tuesday. Trump decided to read out loud Lindsey Graham's phone number. This is the Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican in South Carolina.
Well, all right. In Trump's defense, Lindsey Graham did call him a jackass, so it was really up to Trump to kind of prove that he is.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the challenge is out there.
That's right. The gauntlet has been thrown. I suspect that Donald Trump is a jackass.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to prove it to you. This will be huge.
Yeah, it'll be huge. The problem with doxing is
change your cell phone plan.
The problem with doxing is it's not really illegal. It's kind of not. I mean, there's all sorts of serious problems with it, but it's not illegal to do this. So for him to give out a guy's number, it's no different than if I suddenly spouted your cell number out on the show right now. There's nothing anyone can do about it. There's nothing illegal about me doing that.
Sure.
But it's just
a dick.
I would
change my number right away.
Well, sure you would, but it's a dick move, you know? Yeah. Like, why would I do that? That'd be a terrible thing.
I don't care. I don't care if people call me, whatever.
Yeah, actually, we don't
care. I don't answer my phone. Basically, if I get a phone and it says unknown, like unknown number, or it's calling from Memphis, Tennessee, I pretty much look at that and say, well, I'll listen to the voicemail.
Yeah.
Leave me one.
Yeah, every time. I don't answer. You know what? It's so funny. I don't answer phones. Somebody was saying, was it Jenny? Somebody was saying last week, I think it was Jenny on DTNS before we started. She said something like, isn't it funny how phones, I think this was her. But anyway, how a phone call, people are texting ahead of it to say, hey, is it okay if I call you?
Right.
It used
to
be.
Are you available? Can I give you a call?
Yeah. It used to be the other way. It was rude if you didn't call somebody. Now it's rude if you call them without warning them that you're going to call them.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start calling people and say, hey, do you mind if I text you? And then just see what they do.
Man, times have changed, Brian. Times have changed.
Yeah.
McDonald's has confirmed something we've all long thought and hoped, that a McDonald's manager in specific has confirmed that there is indeed a secret menu.
And the food on it is no better than the one on the real menu.
That's what I'm thinking. McDonald's super enthusiasts have insisted that the fast food chain had a secret menu. Who are these people?
I don't know, but if you are, if you consider yourself a super enthusiast of McDonald's, it might be time to consider another vocation.
I'm thinking you're right. What would super enthusiast powers be? Super enthusiast.
Super, like, oh, jeez. Okay, I was so not prepared for this.
All right.
Ability to tell you how awesome the new album by the band Low is, and no one's, yeah, I got nothing. Excelsior.
I like where you were going. It was good. Their claims were verified Saturday by a Scotland-based Mickey D's manager in the form of a Reddit AMA, where he said, listen, I can't do Scottish accent. Maybe I can. We've got strange friends. No, I can't do it.
You need to, you, what you need to do is you need to have your phrase, right? You need to have your Scottish phrase that you always use to get your voice into the, into that impersonation.
Can't think of one. Can you think of one? What's a good word?
Scottish phrase?
Yeah, a phrase.
They
will never take our freedom. Doesn't really work.
Don't
take our freedom.
Don't take our freedom.
You're pretty good. You do a good one. I've got the Irish down pretty good, at least.
Yeah, the Irish you've got. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
But it's like, you know, I can't go into a Michael J. Fox without, Doc, we got to get back to 1985.
Is that the trick if you're like Michael Winslow or some of those guys that do voice?
Or even people who do voiceover work for a living, they have a phrase that they do to get into that voice. And it's funny, I learned that from the husband of the woman who did the voice for Maud Flanders. He did a few voices on the show himself, but he wasn't as regular as the woman who played Maud Flanders. But he came to Colorado and did a voiceover class that the business manager at my company wanted to go to. And she's like, well, I don't want to go alone. Will you go with me? I'm like, yeah, sure. And it was a blast. Like, he handed out pictures of cartoon characters, and we each had to kind of get up to the front of the group and hold up the picture and then do the voice of that character, like what that voice's character would sound like.
Wow.
And it was kind of a blast. And he talked about how there's, you know, in commercials where they try to sound like something's really tasty or something's really exciting, they inflict a little bit of an English accent in there as well.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Rich, creamy butter. There's nothing like it.
Wow. I wonder what Liam O'Brien's is. Is it you're not prepared, probably?
Probably. Yeah, I was going to say, he probably walks into the studio. Okay, you're not prepared. You're not prepared. Okay, I'm ready.
I'm totally prepared. I'm prepared. Let's go. I need to send him a text and ask him. Or he listens to the show. He'll probably write in.
Yeah, curious as to what he does for that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this guy, Reddit user Orchid Hibiscus.
Of course.
Confirmed that...
I'm a McDonald's enthusiast, and my name is Orchid Hibiscus.
Yeah, exactly. Manager Orchid Hibiscus.
I can't see the floor of my house because it's covered with newspapers and cat excrement. And my name is Orchid Hibiscus.
Would you like to see my limp, limp penis? he confirmed that patrons can order off the menu items like the Land, Air, and Sea Burger. This is beef, chicken, and filet-o-fish patty stacked in a bun. Why would you want that, dude? I couldn't eat that. That is a terrible sounding thing. Here's what Ryan would do.
What do you do for condiments?
That's what you'd do. It's terrible. Yeah. What else? He says that there's... one order of my Land, Air, and Sea Burger. Is that... but if you explain what it is...
By the way, it is also called the McGangbang.
It is?
Yes.
The McGangbang?
Yes.
That's terrible. Don't order the grilled chicken. It's a horrible frozen chicken that we defrost and steam, and it's a bit gelatinous, he says.
And now Ironic Name is going to really quickly search for a picture online of Grimace, Hamburglar, and Ronald all going at it.
There has to be one.
I'm sure there is. There's another one. If you go there between right at the end of breakfast and the beginning of lunch, you can get a Big Mac with an egg patty. Like, so you get one meat patty, one egg patty, but it's regularly, you know, it's everything else about it is Big Mac.
Oh, okay. I like that you say meat patty, not beef patty, because we're not
right,
sure
a
it's
meat
beef.
Patty.
Yeah. So that would be like, what, 10 minutes to 11 or something like that? Or
something like that. Just about when it's too early to get a fish sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, we know what the timeline is. It's too early to get a fish sandwich.
Too late to get an Egg McMuffin.
With meat. With a meat patty.
With a meat patty.
Do you ever do the, like, when you go to In-N-Out? Oh, you guys don't have In-N-Out, I guess.
We don't have In-N-Out, but when we do go to In-N-Out, like in Vegas or Utah, then we do the animal style. Mm. Although I'm going to switch, man, to the animal style lettuce wrap as opposed to the bun.
That's
right?
What my wife does, and she loves it, and it's way, I mean, those buns are 90% of your calories there.
Right.
So, I like that.
Oh, Cleo, you know, we almost need to come up with a crowdsource for this week for the Facebook page of what is the, like, come up with your secret menu item for McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like, all right, it's a fish sandwich that you step on and then.
I like it. I like it. Somebody get on that. You've all got, some of you have rights. Get in there. Do us a favor. All right.
Yeah. And there's the, you've been speaking of secret menus. You've done the, or have you done the Starbucks secret menu?
I have not, no.
Because that one's, there's a bunch of stuff on there. You can get a Captain Crunch Frappuccino.
Oh, my wife goes in there all the time. I should tell her to try this.
Yeah, okay. Do a search. There's a website that lists them all. And I think there's even an iPhone app that like gives you a list of them and what's in them. And so if they don't know, then you just pull out your app and say, okay, well, it's a vanilla latte Frappuccino with toffee and.
I mean, do they have like, they have Captain Crunch cereal there in a box? Like, no. You just.
No, it's like, it's a flavor that they recreate with the things that they do have. So it's like strawberry, toffee, and mocha or something. And it's amazing how it tastes just like Captain Crunch or Crunch Berries.
Okay, that makes sense now. Interesting.
Yeah.
The only Captain Crunch thing I ever had since Captain Crunch was that weird thing Randy got at the milk, at the shake place in Vegas, and it was gross.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. There it is. Hackthemenu.com is the website. And the secret is strawberries and cream frappuccino with one pump of caramel syrup, one pump of hazelnut, and one pump of toffee. And it tastes just like Captain Crunch.
And the baristas there will know what I mean if I ask.
They should, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. There's a ton. Holy cow. If you go to hackthemenu.com, there's a bunch of secret menu. Give me a fast food place. Any fast food place.
Only fast food. How about Taco Bell?
Taco Bell. Oh, there we go. Taco Bell secret menu. There's the Cheez-A-Rito.
Okay.
Let's see what the Cheez-A-Rito is. Melted cheese, scallions, and sauce wrapped up in a soft tortilla. That's actually pretty good.
Sounds all right. Yeah.
The lava anything. Oh, where they put that lava sauce that they put on their spicy tacos. They'll put that on anything. Right. Here you go. The Incredible Hulk.
Okay, what's that?
This is a beefy five-layer burrito with guacamole instead of nacho cheese. Subtract the inner 6 inches shell and make it fresco.
Wow. That actually sounds all right.
It does actually sound all right.
Okay, give me something from Sonic Burger. I go there
sometimes. Sonic, let's see here. All right, Sonic secret menu. The Dr. Pepper orgasm.
What?
It's a mix of Dr. Pepper lemonade and Powerade.
Wow.
They'll make that for you.
And then you ask for it by that name?
This page even tells you how to order it. It says, ask for a mix of Dr. Pepper with a touch of lemonade and Powerade. Or if you're comfortable enough, you can try to ask for it by its code name, Dr. Pepper Orgasm.
Well, next time I see a 16-year-old on roller skates, I don't think I'm going to ask her for that. I don't think I'm doing that.
Let's see. Wow, you can order battered and deep fried pickles at Sonic and they'll make it for you.
What? I don't think I trust those. How about Five Guys Burgers and Fries?
Yep, that's on here too. Okay. Let's see. You can get your fries well done by asking them to do your fries well done. And the Double Grilled Cheese Burger. Mm-hmm. They only have a couple items, secret items. The secret is burger patties sandwiched between two grilled cheese sandwiches. So
oh my gosh. Would you do that to yourself?
It's the blowout is what it is. Yeah,
that's
cool. Here's how you order it. Ask for two grilled cheese sandwiches and then ask them to put however many hamburger patties and all of your favorite toppings in between the two. This should be called a Ron Swanson.
Yeah, it should.
Give me all the hamburger patties you have.
I don't think you understood me. Give me all the patties. Yeah, this is cool. Hackthemenu.com, everybody. Go check it out.
Yeah, some great stuff on here. Or not. Or maybe it's horrible, horrible stuff.
It could be real bad. Yeah. Google knows where you've been, by the way.
What?
Yep. And your timeline for maps shows you, if you're all in on the Google services, say you use Google Now on your smartphone or your browser, you're likely aware of the fact that Google tracks your location and serves you useful information. What you might not realize, though, it says, according to this article on TheVerge.com, is just how much location data Google has on you. Surprisingly enough, the company has just turned that somewhat creepy bit of info into a new feature called Your Timeline. For Google Maps users on the Android and on the web, this feature will let you visualize your real-world routines, a less sketchy way of saying you can see everything that Google has tracked you doing with location history settings. So everything, everywhere you've walked, been, stayed, stood.
Please tell me this looks like that Family Circle or Family Circus cartoon where they show the path that Billy makes in an average day.
Oh, that's
Come
right.
Come home for dinner, Billy. And then you've got the dotted line, go and pet the dog. And then you hop over the neighbor's fence and then you play in the fountain. And
what was his name? John Keane? Or what was his name?
Bill Keane.
Bill Keane predicting the future, predicting that's technology.
That's right. Google.
Wow.
So I can. I'm curious actually to see. So where do I do this? I guess Google has it. There's not a way that we can look at it and see.
Let's see. Google. What's it called? They called it again. Your timeline. I think it's only on the phones.
Oh, okay.
Your timeline. It may be just Android.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, your timeline.
Google knows where you've been. Blah blah blah. Your timeline. Yeah. There's
no, it says for Google users on Android and on the web, this feature will let you visualize your real world routines.
Where do you see it on the web?
I don't know. Let's see here. I'm curious. I'd love to see, like...
There's a Google... Yeah, they're only showing this on the phone. The Google Maps blog has a post about it where they launch it, basically, and say, hey, this is a thing. And they show two screenshots of a phone, but they don't show any web things or talk about the web. So I don't know what's going on there. I actually kind of want to see this.
I do, too. I'd be really curious to see what... There it is, myaccount.google.com.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Yes, and does it say? Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. It appears not to say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, darn.
Yeah.
All right, somebody will help us out with this.
And yeah, maybe, I want to see that. I want to see that. That's probably going to be on DTNS today. Twitter's, and also some tech news, Twitter removes wallpaper from all your profile pages and timelines. So that thing you uploaded forever ago because you thought it looked cool, that's not there anymore. It's gone.
Yeah, I don't miss it.
It's all
I don't,
white.
I don't even look at Twitter, honestly. I use TweetDeck. So if you've got something fancy on your Twitter page that's, you know, really cute and whatever, I don't see it.
I have, look at Patrick. Sorry. I got distracted by Patrick Beja. It's just the web. And the web client I never use anyway, so this makes no difference to me.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are pissed. Pissed. They don't like to have things taken away, Brian. They only want things to be added to their
of
lives.
Of course, yes.
But the way I look at these things, there's no, you shouldn't have... There's like some people are getting petitions together to bring it back. It's like, really, guys? Are we so into that? Is Twitter so important to us and the background image it has? Is that really a thing to get all worked up over? Come on.
Right.
Calm the F down.
Jeez.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Recommendals with Nicole. It's Tom's Tech Time with Tom Merritt and some emails and stuff. So all that's coming up shortly. But before all of that, as is the tradition, Brian brought some music and we're going to hear it.
I did. All right. Hi, guys. Today, July 22nd, is my birthday, which means you're legally obligated to do my bidding. Mm. As such, I request that you play a cover of or by the Bare Naked Ladies. If this proves impossible, then I will also accept a 3-hour dissertation by the internet sweetheart, Tom Merritt, on what in the blue blazes of Bitcoin is.
Oh, wow.
Bye, guys. Signed, Connor.
I like it. I thought he was going bacon cheddar ranch, but he didn't.
I know. I did that on purpose. I made you hover your finger over the button.
I really did. That's funny.
We played a lot of Bare Naked Ladies over the years on the show, so I always try to pull out something new for requests if I can. This is a new one, and you know what? I'd forgotten how much fun this song is, especially their take on it. This was back when Stephen Page was with Bare Naked Ladies, and I feel like Bare Naked Ladies isn't Bare Naked Ladies without Stephen Page.
Is he the short, squatty one with the glasses?
He is.
Okay,
yeah.
I kind of agree.
He's the guy who sings the "It's been one week since you looked at me."
Oh yeah, he's got the to his voice.
Exactly, as opposed to the guy whose name I can't remember who does the. Hold me now, let me stop thinking.
Yeah, he's like the rapper. I always think of him as.
He's the new He's the new full-time lead singer. Mm. Anyway, yeah. This was included on a compilation called For the Kids, Volume 3, back in 2007. It's a traditional cover that you would hear at camp. And actually, not only would you hear it, you would probably sing along with it. And I encourage you to do the same when you listen to it here, too. Here's the Bare Naked Ladies. The other day, I met a bear.
The other day,
I met a bear,
a great big bear,
way up there.
The other day, I met a bear, a great big bear, way up there.
He said to me,
why don't you run?
I see you ain't.
Got any gun?
He said to me,
why don't you run? I see you ain't got any gun.
And so I ran
away from there.
But right behind me
was that bear.
And so I ran away from there.
But right behind me was that bear.
Ahead of me,
there was a tree.
A great big tree.
Oh, glory be.
Ahead of me, there was a tree.
A great big tree.
Oh, glory be.
The nearest branch
was 10 feet up.
10 feet.
I'd have to jump
10 feet.
And trust my luck.
10 feet.
The nearest branch was 10 feet up.
I'd have to jump and trust my luck.
And so I jumped
into the air.
But I missed that branch.
Are you surprised?
Away up there.
I mean, come on.
And so I jumped into the air. But I missed that branch away up there.
Now don't you fret.
Don't fret.
Now don't you frown.
Don't frown.
'Cause I caught that branch.
That branch
on the way back down.
Way down.
Now don't you fret.
Now don't you frown.
'Cause I caught that branch on the way back down.
This is the end.
This is the end.
There ain't no more.
Unless I meet
that bear once more.
That bear once more.
This is the end.
There ain't no more.
Unless I meet that bear once more.
And so I met.
That bear once more.
He's just a rug.
On my living room floor.
And so I met that bear once more.
He's just a rug on my living room floor.
Hi, my name is Teddy Ruxton. I want you to meet my friend.
Teddy Ruxpin's friends are found only in the world of Teddy Ruxpin's storybook cassettes. I said in the storybook cassettes.
So rich now, I don't know what to do with it all.
The Morning Stream. Better than Quentin Tarantino's toe dipped in sour cream and onion.
Right, we're back. All of their songs sound like kids' music to me.
Well, it's hard to say that after, you know, you hear that song, because that one is a kid's song.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. That whole album is, right?
That whole album is, but that's not a whole Bare Naked Ladies album. That's like a compilation of a bunch of different artists doing kid-friendly music that won't drive you nuts like a Dora the Explorer CD or a Barney CD.
I really like the Kimya Dawson children's album. Have you heard that one?
No, I don't think I have.
It's really good. You know who I'm talking about, though, right? She's
Sounds familiar. Kimya
Dawson. Let me just play just a snitch of her. She's interesting. Let's see. Kimya Dawson, Loose Lips. That's not one of her kid ones. Well, here, I'll play it. Okay, so here you go.
Oh, she's half of the Moldy Peaches.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh. This is from Juno.
Yeah, this is the song.
Let's take trips to San Francisco, double Dutch disco, take a V hottie, do it for Scotty, do it for the living and do it for the dead, do it for the monsters under your bed.
Anyway, she's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's not the song I was thinking. The Moldy Peaches one that was most prominently in Juno was the one that Ellen Page and Michael Cera sing to each other at the end.
Oh, right. But it's right. And that album has both versions on it.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, she's great. My daughter was really into her for a while, so we listened to that a lot in the house. And she has a kids album that is fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, very cool.
Really fun, jaunty thing. All right. It's time.
All right.
It's Nicole time. Nicole time.
Help, help, it's happening.
Help, help. Let's get her in here. Let's get this going. Where is she? There she is. I'm adding her to the call. There's nothing you can do about it now. It's happening. And we have a new intro. Check it out. Oh, Nicole. My sweet Nicole. Hello, Nicole Spagnuolo. How are you?
Really know how to put a smile on my face.
Oh, good. Oh,
that's good. Brian picked that out and just, we love it now. How you doing? How you feeling?
You know, every week is getting a little better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are certain things, I mean, that I don't feel repulsed by food wise. Yeah. So that's nice.
Yeah. Your husband, just tell Mark not to eat a big loaf of whatever before he comes home. So you're not. Mark,
I can't.
Oh, yeah. For Tina, it was eggs and fish and chips.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I'm staying away from fish because I'm just not sure what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, you got to watch out for that.
My wife craved constantly string cheese, and then once the baby was born, she can't look at it even now without feeling nauseous. She can't even look at string cheese.
Oh, wow. Amazing how that has an effect, like an enduring effect. Wow.
Like this weird switcheroo.
You eat so much of it, then you're just like, bleh.
Yeah. I couldn't eat Cheetos after for about 20 years after I yacked up a bunch of Cheetos on a couch once.
Because that's totally the same as pregnancy.
Not quite the same, but it goes to, you know, it goes to say, you know, your brain has a...
Oh, well, so we can't compete with Nicole. Well,
I see.
I guess we'll just put our toys away.
That's right. Well, Nicole, it's good to have you here. It's Recommendals time. We missed it last week. We had a theme all planned out, and then the show didn't happen. We apologize. But the theme was movies with water in them, right? Yeah, still is.
Water.
Water theme.
Water-themed movies. And everyone at home thinks I'm doing Waterworld, but I'm not.
It's not streaming.
Yeah, that's part of the reason. The other reason is it just seemed too obvious, so I'm not doing that.
We might have some overlap on this one, so I have a backup.
Oh, okay.
Well,
let's find out how we did here.
It has nothing to do with water, but it's a backup.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I'll start with mine. I'm going to play a clip. You guys try to guess what it is. I remember really liking this. It is not well thought of generally, but I liked it for some reason. And I think I know why, but I'll play this and you guys tell me if you know what it is. Here you go.
No, I'm starting to really get cold.
Oh, God. It's okay.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I thought he said they'd never come that close.
They also said the boat would be here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Guinea guesses, Brian? Guinea?
Yeah, is that dark water?
Open water.
Oh,
open water.
Nicole nailed it. It's open water. Yes. Now.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, my God. It is the most tense.
Yeah.
I found it to be very tense. And I think they really nailed that part of it. I think the actors and the production value is kind of terrible. It's not very well made in those regards. But they got the one little thing right. The one conceit, which is let's recreate what it must be. The kind of isolation it must feel like to be out in the middle of the open ocean with no one to help you, no way to survive, no way to whatever, and you're being circled by sharks and other creatures, and how long does that go? What do you do at night? What do you do in the beating sun? Like, what do you do to survive?
Yes.
You punch sharks in the nose.
Yep, totally.
Like that surfer just did.
Yeah.
Right.
Crap. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know why it really hung on me, but I really liked it. I fell for the one trick that it had, and it really is a one-trick pony, that movie.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just a setup of like, hey, let's go snorkeling. Oh, where'd the boat go? Mm-hmm. All right, we're stuck out here.
We're stuck forever. And
did they say in the movie why the boat's not there?
I don't remember.
It's something like they had a miscount of... the number of people that were on the boat. So when they counted, say, okay, yeah, we've got all 16 people. All right, let's take off.
I think that was it. Yeah. And then later,
I know, right?
And I don't, as a kid, one of my great fears was endless water, like being in Lake Powell or something, and then looking down and seeing that blue went on for ever.
Nothing on the horizon. No land on the horizon.
Yeah, that
how
abyss.
Space makes me feel.
Yeah, space is similar to that. Like, who is it that was telling us this that hates... Oh, Dills can't do space. Like, he can't watch movies. Like, he could not watch
Gravity.
Gravity. Can't do it.
Oh, wow. Or Interstellar. He would.
Yeah, he'd hate that.
Wow.
He can't do any of those where it's just big, open, endless space. It's just, it killed him. And for the, I think it's a similar fear, though. You know, like looking into that deep water and knowing that there's, you just can't see the bottom. And I think part of it stems from my dad got bit by a really big fish once.
Really?
Yeah, on his ankle or something, and it was bad, and it got all infected, and it was terrible, and it was something you couldn't see because it was way down low in the water, and it just, from then on, I was like, all right, forget it. Water's the worst thing ever. Anyway, that's mine. Open Water, everybody. It's on Netflix if you want to see it.
There's a sequel, too. I hear the sequel is horrible.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
I mean, the first one's not good, so I can't imagine that the second one's any better than that.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of acting at the beginning of this movie that is horrendous.
Yeah, all the people on the boat with them. Yeah. Oh, that's right, because you see them in the hotel room. They have to have a weird gratuitous nudity scene at the beginning.
Yeah, which made no sense. There was no, you know, sex or anything. It was just naked people laying around for no reason. And then later they got on the boat. And then the meat of the story comes in. But all that early stuff, just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Streaming on Netflix, available now. Check it out. Brian, I'm going to play your clip now.
Okay, and this, what you're about to hear, and this is, I'm wondering if this is what Nicole means by we might have some overlap. I wonder if this is the same movie she picked. But this, you're about to hear just about the only dialogue in this movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we definitely didn't pick the same one.
Okay, good.
Good. Hers was yappity yap the whole time. All right, here it is. It's Brian's water-themed recommendal.
13th of July, 4:50 p.m.
Oh! I know this.
I'm sorry.
I love this.
I know that means little at this point, but I am. I tried. I think you would all agree that I tried. To be true. To be strong. To be kind. To love. To be right. But I wasn't. And I know you knew this. In each of your ways. And I am sorry.
All right. That's that Robert Redford deal.
That's exactly what it
and
is.
And I forgot the name. Ugh.
If I would have played one more second of that monologue, then you would have heard it because that's the next the next line he says.
Is it out? Hold on. Let me think.
The name of the movie.
Out in the water. In the deep. The water's here. I can't think of it.
The water's here is the name of the movie.
Shite.
It's called All Is Lost.
All Is Lost.
Yes. And I mean, it's basically, it is a one man performance. It's Robert Redford on a boat out at sea, and his boat hits a shipping container, and it kind of wakes up and his boat has crashed into the shipping container and his boat is starting to fill up with water. And pretty much from that point on, crap just gets worse and worse for him.
Yeah, it is awesome movie. Totally worth
it. It is really
saying.
Good. Yeah, if you ever have any doubts about the acting ability of Robert Redford, this is such a great movie because he doesn't do the thing that you would expect an actor to do in this role, which is just panic and scramble and do all these things. I mean, he's a seasoned sailor, and he knows what needs to be done and he does it, but he does it very deliberately and methodically, and it's just a very, very believable performance. Like, I believe that Robert Redford knows how to fix a boat.
Oh yeah, he's very methodical. Methodical is a great way to put it. Very deliberate in his actions, very planned and cool and collected, and isn't, you know, it's not like Castaway where he's on top of the boat yelling at the sun, you know, or anything weird like that. It doesn't go that direction. It's very quiet. Like you said, that's like the only dialogue really. There's a few other moments, but very rare. When he gets on the radio, there's a little bit of him trying to talk to whoever's on the other end.
Oh yeah, right.
But
yeah,
other than that, it's pretty silent in that way. It's also kind of void of any kind of like music to try to over emotionalize anything.
Yeah, there is a musical theme that kind of keeps playing every once in a while, but yeah, you're right. I mean, for the most part, it's a, you know, you're hearing the water, you're hearing kind of the sounds of desolation that he's hearing himself. So.
He was nominated for Best Actor a year before last for this.
Golden Globe, I think.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it was really surprising, actually, that he wasn't nominated for Best Actor. There was a lot of surprise when the nominations came out that he wasn't among them because, you know, this is a great role for him, and it's a very, very deep and
you're absolutely
pun intended.
All Is Lost.
All Is Lost, and it's streaming on Netflix.
It's great.
And Tina and I watched it thinking, all right, let's watch it, because I think this is going to be my water-themed recommendal. So I'm glad we enjoyed it, or else it would have been tough to recommend.
Yeah, you picked a good one. In fact, I would have totally picked that had I didn't see it, or I would have totally gone
that
way.
I'm glad you didn't see it.
Yeah, because open water is a piece of crap compared to that. like in a way, I mean,
but it's very similar.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they tweak the same nerve, I think. But one is really well made, and the other is kind of schlocky. So there's that. All right, Nicole, I can't wait. What do you got here?
Well, I can't believe you didn't pick it, but I'll give you my bonus one after this one.
Okay.
I think I figured out the audio, so let's see if you can hear my clip.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Tell me if you can hear it.
Yes.
Yep. The boat's organized. I don't know about you, but I intend to write a strongly worded letter to the White Star Line about all this.
That sounded like it was coming out of someone's TV, but
it was a YouTube clip coming out of.
Well, there you go. Well, three very similar movies about isolation and disaster in the water.
Where is Titanic streaming these days?
Netflix.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. So Titanic is streaming on Netflix. I went to see this in the theater twice when it first came out in '97.
Yeah.
It
was a big deal, man. That movie was a big deal.
This is the movie that gave Cameron his FU money to do Avatar.
Yeah. Pretty much, right?
Right. He's like, I was able to do Avatar because I had so much money from Titanic.
Yeah.
I like the way you phrased that.
His FU money.
That's what he called it.
You get your young Leo DiCaprio there hanging out with your Kate Winslet, drawing her naked in the car there. That's good.
Sex in the car. He drew naked in the cabin.
Oh, that's right. Then you got your Billy Zane.
Right.
It's such an interesting story throughout time. I remember before this movie came out, watching the old black and white Titanic movie on TV.
Yeah.
And I probably was 12, and it was just like watching this was like, what? I mean, it's so... so dramatic. Mm-hmm. And I think watching the old, because that the old black and white one is a good one too, but I couldn't find that streaming. It might be on YouTube, but this is a more dramatic, you know, of course these stories didn't happen, but this is the catalyst to tell you the story of mm-hmm. Titanic.
Sure. So. My heart will go on.
Near and far.
It's I know a lot of people make fun of that movie, but I think it's actually a piece of fine cinema. It's no worse or better than any other movie that has a big cultural impact like that. And I think it's still in like the top two or three grossing films of all time.
Moneymakers, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Did really well.
See that.
Good job, James Cameron.
Yeah.
You've come a long way since Terminator 1 and your stop motion robot.
But it was kind of the obvious choice for me when I was like, oh, there's a water movie mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah. Well, and don't.
And it's
got
our favorite David Warner, too, in it, right? Like, we've seen him in a bunch of film sack movies, and he always plays the jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy's great. That David Warner was right in the middle of the crack of the ship. Remember that?
Yes, right.
And that was it. There are four lights, and then he fell off. before you do your bonus,
uh-huh.
I just want to put it out there that we all know in our heart of hearts, and everyone listening knows, how important Waterworld is to this theme and this category. So I just want to recommend that everyone do their yearly viewing of Waterworld and appreciate the masterpiece that it is. It's the most watery, waterish thing you've ever seen water on film with. All right, Nicole, what's your bonus recommendal?
All right, so here's a bonus. It has nothing to do with water, but I really, really enjoyed watching it. It's streaming on Netflix, and this is one of the... it's a funny scene. It's a comedy.
All right.
Oh, here you go.
You are intriguing me. Comment vous appelez-vous? You are not working with these people?
No, I'm Hector. I'm a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist? Alors, you can help me.
Oh, I think not.
But I want a penis.
You mean happiness?
Everybody wants a penis, but you cannot hold a penis.
Yes, sorry. It's elusive. Yeah, you can't touch happiness.
You can.
I have no idea what that is.
Do you got a guess, Brian?
No. I was thinking like exotic Marigold Hotel or something like that until the epiness talk came in. But,
that's really funny.
Do you recognize the male actor?
No.
That was Simon Pegg.
Oh, all right.
Hmm. And this is a movie called Hector and the Search for Happiness.
Oh, huh. I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this.
Never
streaming on
it.
Netflix. Mm-hmm. He, of course, is a psychiatrist, and he really lives a pretty boring life. You know, he's in a rut, more or less. And he tells his girlfriend, who happens to be a Gone Girl actress.
Oh, Rosamund Pike?
Yeah. Tells her that he's lost, basically. And he goes on he's having a midlife crisis, more or less. So he goes on a trip to find happiness, and he's journaling it throughout. So he goes to Africa, he goes to the United States, he goes to a lot of different places, and you follow his travels. I think he goes to Nepal. It's just, you know, there's a comedic look. I really enjoyed it. Hmm. I highly recommend it.
Sounds really funny.
Make you smile. That make you tear up a
like
little bit.
Like sweetly funny, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of those just feel good movies. And I love Simon Pegg. And I've been meaning to watch this, and I finally did. And I was really glad that I did, because it just made me smile.
Nice. Well, I will check it out. It is now written down for a thing to me to see. That's on Netflix also?
Yes, that's on Netflix.
All right. Very nice. There you go. Water theme complete. What's next week? Oh, no, there is no next week.
There is no next week. Yeah. But I was thinking, because I think I'm calling in.
Are you? Are you going to try to do that? We can try to do it?
Yeah.
All right. We'll give it a shot.
So I was thinking, we've been doing this for a while now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've recommended movies, and there's been movies that I really want you to see, Scott. And I was thinking, if we could recommend, not necessarily, so like, I tell you, Scott, what I want you to watch for next week. Brian, you could tell me what you want me to watch.
Mm.
And then, Scott, you could tell Brian. Like, if there was something that you've recommended, we just haven't had a chance to watch it, and you're like, God dang it, why haven't you watched that movie? I told you. I was thinking that. Mm. What do you think?
Well,
you
I like that idea.
You mean there's a thing that we need to tell each other to watch before?
So, like, for instance, Scott, I would say to you, have you watched Dark Mirror yet?
No.
And that would be what I would tell you to freaking watch for next.
because we've told you to watch it like a billion times.
Right. So if I get on, so what you're saying is watch that before then, so that.
Yes, so we can talk about it.
Oh, gotcha. So we can talk about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I've watched that you haven't watched, Nicole.
Mm.
I feel like.
Filth. I haven't had a chance to watch that yet. There's been a few.
Oh, does it have to be one we've recommended that you haven't done yet?
Well, that's where I'm confused.
I was thinking recommended, and then
yeah, I like that. Okay, all right,
right.
Something that you know you've recommended.
So wait, are you talking about when we try to Skype you in? I'm not even sure that's going to work. But if we Skype you in, you're going to say, "Have you seen Black Mirror yet?" And I'm going to say, "No," or what? I don't get it.
No, that's the idea. So I'm telling you now, you have until next week to watch not the whole series. I'm just going to give you one episode to watch.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me, yes, I watched it. Oh, that was really interesting. I'm just trying to think in terms of trying to get us to watch some of the stuff we've actually recommended.
Right.
I'd have to go back and look at what I've actually recommended.
We'll swim this around in our heads and figure it out. I'm still trying to figure out how that plays on stage, but we'll figure it out.
Well, every year you ask me what was like.
Yeah. What was your one thing this year? Yeah.
The one thing. So maybe this is the one thing. And we all, since we're all involved in it, we can kind of say.
Oh, yeah. We can say, okay, so here's what we do. And we can do this off air. Each one of us pick the thing we think is the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone else who hasn't done it needs to, or one of us does, I guess. So you'd say Black Mirror for me. Maybe one of mine is for Brian. And Brian, I don't know. There's only three of us, so I don't know how it works. But yeah, maybe each one of us sees the one big thing the other person thought was the year's one big thing. And then we can get up and say, yeah, the one big thing was this. And then we could say whether we agree or not or something.
I have a lot of, since I was so sick, I haven't been able to keep up much with recommendals.com, but I still have a lot of what we've recommended on the website too. So
okay, cool. So we can look back there.
And look at the Twitter feed too.
Sure.
Recommendals at Twitter. I try to put all of our recommendals up there as well.
Yeah, so we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, everybody. It's Nicole Spag on Twitter. You can find her there. And new baby, November. Very exciting.
End of October. Yeah. November 2nd. But then the doctors are saying, well, maybe it's end of October. Whatever.
Do a Halloween baby.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Mateo's October 28th.
Yeah. Get them all taken care of at once. That's what I'm saying. All right, Nicole, take it easy. Have fun. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Oh. See ya.
All right, Brian.
Very good.
Tom time.
Yay, Bitcoin explanation time.
Time to learn about Bitcoins, how they work, why they matter to you. And
the concept and direction of Bitcoins must come from the man.
That's right.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man is Tom Merritt, and he knows all there is to know about Bitcoins. Hi, Tom.
See, Bitcoin's like a zebra on the Serengeti, and you're the hyena.
Okay, wait. Finally, it makes sense. Right. Really ringing a bell in my head. Tom Merritt.
How many metaphors?
How the heck are you? How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I have a guy who tips me on Twitter every day while he watches DTNS using this app that sends, I think it's like 20 cents through a service that uses Bitcoin to make the transfer.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, weird. I still don't get how that's all working. Like, I think I finally understand the concept of mining them and collecting them and getting them, but I'm not completely understanding the liquidity of it. Like, how can you move it around and what bank can do what? And that stuff just, I don't know, they're completely beyond my scope.
Dare we try to explain
Don't try to explain it. Instead,
see, it's like a hyena. No. Instead, I know you say you like it when I talk people down off the cliff.
I do like it.
Around technology, and there's there's some cliff talking that needs to happen around Google Photos.
Mm. Oh, yeah. There was a big dust up about this. Google Plus Photos in particular.
Yeah. Now, granted, my wife works for YouTube, which is owned by Google, so full disclosure. But here's the thing. This is a really interesting effect of something we talked about with Patrick Beja on yesterday's DTNS, the app ecosystem versus the web. Mm. So what happened on Monday is Google announced that Google Plus Photos apps will be shutting down on Android, then on the web, and on iOS. You wouldn't lose any of your photos. They'd all still be at photos.google.com. And you could easily port them over to the Google Photos app if you wanted. And people freaked out.
Mm.
And I'll explain why I think they freaked out in a second. Today, Google went to Google's Anil Sabharwal, who's the head of Google Photos, went to Google Plus and explained, you're not losing any photos. You're not actually losing any functionality. All we're doing is moving the back end. The part that handles, the privacy the sharing and the editing and the backing up and the creations, we're moving that to Google Photos because we think it's confusing if we have Google Plus Photos and Google Photos. We'll just have Google Photos take care of everything, but you'll still be able to post photos in Google Plus. You'll still be able to comment on them, all your previous comments and everything. None of that's getting touched. You won't notice a thing other than the Google Plus Photos app no longer works.
Yeah. So why do you think the freak out? Because what you just said to me makes sense. And that my assumption was when I heard the news, I went, well, yeah, of course they want all that under a single roof, either technologically or even branding wise. They don't need two photo services floating out there. So to me, it was just a sensible thing for Google to do. Why do you think people are losing their minds?
Because they took something away. Right. And this goes at yesterday, Patrick and I talked about the mobile web and how Nilay Patel had a great article on The Verge about why it's bad and why apps, the app ecosystem may be causing that. If this was a website and they said, hey, guess what? Google Plus Photos is becoming Google Photos. And then you just redirect all the links and the Google Plus Photo tab just takes you to Google Photos. Nothing is removed. They're not removing any albums. They do exactly the same way, but the back end stuff now becomes the Google Photo engine and they swap it out. No one would have ever known. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of the open HTML platform. You just swap it in. Everything's mm-hmm. object-oriented-ish, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But because we have apps, they decided, and probably wisely, that, you know what, we need to code a new app from the ground up for this new Google Photos service. We can't just modify the old one. So let's launch a new service, Google Photos, and then we'll deprecate the old app. And you took something away from people, and they noticed that. Even though you're not really taking anything away, psychologically, it's like, but I used this button, this app, and you're taking it away, and now I have to use this other thing, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I could see that. It's like saying
something else.
It's like Microsoft coming out. This is maybe a bad comparison, but hear me out. Microsoft comes out and says, we've decided that Word and Excel are much closer pals than we've previously had. It's silly to have them as separate applications. So we're putting all the Word functionality in directly into Excel, and it's now called Excel Word. And it's one application, and you'll notice that on your desktop, your Word app's just going to disappear. We're going to have that go away with the latest patch, and the new version of Excel Word will have all the functionality in it. No changes to what practically it does. Just we're consolidating. People would have a canary. They would lose their minds.
Well, there's lots of other reasons, spreadsheet versus document-wise, people would. But I like your analogy, because if they said, look, you can still choose to do a Word document or a spreadsheet document. We're just changing the back end because it's more efficient to have it operate off of one code base. But you take away that icon, people would freak out. Exactly.
Is part of it this? Here's a theory that may hold no water again. So you may have to talk me down from the cliff now.
We call this segment Cup or Sieve.
Cup or Sieve, exactly. Here's what I want to know. Is it because Google is not necessarily a huge player when it comes to photos? It's not, you know, nobody goes photographs. Why Google? You know, like that. It's not a thing that's
the
synonymous.
First thing people think of,
yeah, right? They think of Facebook. They think of
you say that.
I do say that.
Okay, go ahead.
But and some wouldn't, obviously. Some people are upset, obviously, because they really like their Google Plus photos, and now that's why they're pissed. So there's obviously some reason for people to want to keep it. But my point is, do you think maybe they were like, it's like, you know, it's not like we're still evolving into what could be people's home for their photos. We're now offering this free backup to all your photos in our resolution algorithm, and they can get full resolution if they pay us. And you know, they've got all these plans that may make Google the greatest player in photo management and cloud storage and all of that. That may all be true, but they're looking at the Google Plus photo side and just saying, yeah, this was never like the monster beast we wanted it to be. Neither is Google Plus, for that matter. It's not Facebook. We were trying for this social networks thing, and we got a little bit of it, but on a relative scale, it's this tiny little bit that not enough of the people care about, and they all care about Facebook. Is it possible they were just like, so it doesn't really matter that much, like, because it's not a huge thing, and they just forgot that tiny groups of people on the internet can sound really loud when you do stuff like that?
I'm two-thirds of the way with you.
All right.
The problem is, one of Google Plus's earliest uses was by photographers. The biggest group that flocked to Google Plus in the early days were photographers. They loved the way it worked. And there's a lot of people that used it for photography. Now, maybe that usage has declined. I don't know. But I don't think the premise that Google thinks, oh, well, nobody uses it for photography anyway. I think that's the opposite. Mm. In fact, I think they looked at it and said, wow, one of the only things Google Plus is good for is photography. And then I'm with you, because then I think they go to, and you know what? We're really not interested in making Google Plus a competitor with Facebook. So there's no reason to leave that awesome photography element in there. Let's because it's restricting what we can do to make a really good photo management service. So let's move it out of there. And then I think there's a little color of like, you know what? Google Plus really, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of defenders. It's got a vocal community, but we're going to make a better photo app, and we're going to make it seamless, so that all your photos are just over there and you don't really have to do much of anything except maybe click a link. And hopefully people won't be upset because we're not taking anything away. And they forgot the psychological, if they forgot anything. And maybe, I hate to say they forgot it, they probably understood it. And they're like, well, we're going to get some flack for this, but it's the only way we can do it, right? Yeah. Which is probably more likely. Mm-hmm. But they decided to risk the ire of the psychological factor of, oh, I'm taking away this button and replacing it with that button.
Yeah, and I guess it's back to that app issue. The website, who cares? It's all integrated still. Everything still works the way it's supposed to. Like, it's not going to
Which is exactly the way it's happening on the web. If you go to your Google Plus Photos tab, it takes you to photos.google.com.
Mm-hmm. And it still posts the photos you put on Plus and enter
and
that way.
You didn't lose your albums. You didn't lose your comments.
Yeah.
You know.
Simple, easy. I'm not so sure I buy the idea that they couldn't just take the existing app and convert that into the Photos app. Like, that idea is a little bit weird to me, because I understand that apps are a little more static and they're not as, you know, fluid as working on the web. I get that, but plenty of examples.
If I had to make up a reason without actually knowing what the reasons are, it's because it's so tied into Google Plus that it just doesn't make sense. You've got to, and unless you're willing to pull the trigger and put a bullet in Google Plus's head, which I don't think they are.
No, not yet.
Then I think you kind of have to pull it out and make it its own.
We're not quite in Google Buzz territory quite yet with that, I think.
Or Wave,
or a lot of other things. This is, I think, the other thing people always stress about. Like, people who use Feedburner are always on pins and needles because they think that one day Google's going to get bored and pull it. I know.
I feel like because of Google Reader, because of the experience with Google Reader, I fear the coming up Feedburner apocalypse less.
Yeah.
For one thing, I've noticed them maintaining Feedburner recently, like adding a couple things and pulling stuff away. Now, it's not like they're really like paying a lot of attention, but at least it's not entirely ignored. I think the return of podcasting has maybe made them cast an eye towards it again as something they might want to consider using. So there's that possibility. But I also think there's so many people using it, and so many people would be abandoned if they shut it down, that we'll see some kind of Google Reader thing happen where they either transfer it, sell it off to somebody, or somebody comes in and picks up the reins and takes it over.
Well, in related news, all three of us are 10-year veterans of podcasting. I just want to throw that out there.
That's right.
Yep. We're in good company.
Oh, no, I just started podcasting with Serial when podcasting started.
Oh, when podcasting came out.
Oh, when it came out, right.
Yeah.
When podcasting came out, when the comedians came. I mean, when ESPN came. I mean, when All Things Considered came. I mean, when
Ricky Gervais started podcasting.
Yeah, or wait, when Mark Maron, launched. Wait. Crap. Yeah, who knows?
Oh, it's fun to be old and bitter.
It is, isn't it? It really is fun to be old
good
and bitter.
Good time.
Later today, I will be old and bitter on the Daily Tech News Show. It's my Wednesday gig, and I really enjoy doing it. Anything coming up today that we want to mention? Anything at all you want to mention?
Yeah, I don't know what we'll talk about on today's show. Maybe we'll talk about Google Photos some more. I don't know. But we'll kick that around. So find out. Come in and find out. We do have some good emails regarding the maps. I got a good email asking if it was ethical for the two hackers to actually affect the car that the Wired reporter was driving in, Andy Greenberg was driving in, on a public road. So we got a couple things to talk about there for sure.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That's later today, 2:30 Mountain Time, right here. Or not right here, but over there at diamondclub.tv. And, of course, you'll see Tom Merritt at Nerdtacular the very following week.
Yes.
As we enter the valley and... Okay, we're back. We're recording. I don't know. We locked at the end of Tom's segment. Perfect time for technology to go bad during the tech segment.
Right.
Morning
yes.
stream.
Google, I'll show you.
Brilliant.
Talk about Feedburner in a native light.
All right, Brian. We're about done, but we do have a couple of emails, and it turns out they're brought to us by somebody. Who is it?
My steak and chicken. Get it as 2/3 of your land, sea, and air burger right now at McDonald's.
Had that last night. Nick made it.
As if there was steak.
Yeah, right. That doesn't exist at McDonald's. I don't know what that is. Hi, ACL and MCL. Oh, looks like a knee story.
It does, yes.
From Dan the Nurse. He says Merce, but...
Maybe he's a Merce.
As a family...
He's a male nurse.
He says he is. As a family medical nurse... Oh, Merce, like medical nurse. Yeah. I often will... I get it. Male nurse.
Male nurse.
With an M in front.
Right, Merce.
Hey, look at me. I'm quick. I'm quick on the draw. As a family medical nurse, I often will have conversations with people that are reluctant to believe in evidence-based practice, those who are against vaccinating their children, for example. In the case of surgeries, patients will often know someone who had a negative experience and fear that same will happen to him. This leads them to make some really dangerous decisions in trying unproven or unknown treatments that will be, that will at best be ineffective and at worst cause serious damage. No medical procedure is without risk, and those who are already reluctant to do the recommended treatment will focus on the negative. Meanwhile, someone comes along, a massage therapist, for example, who very confidently gives a patient an easy and relatively inexpensive treatment that is, quote, sure to work. The only evidence here is a guarantee of the seller, but they have stories of all, the people it has helped, and they are so confident and charismatic that people looking for another alternative will often choose it to try in thinking they have nothing to lose.
Right.
I wish I could give an easy how-to answer that lets you address this with your loved one. But unfortunately, there isn't a silver bullet for all of this. Funny he said silver, because this person was also into taking silver for a while. It was like, you're all...
Would they jam silver in their knee?
Nope. It was like some kind of pill unit thing. I don't know what was going on. And it turns you blue, so don't take silver. Anyway, he says, in my profession, I have been used to the trust I build with patients to successfully convince them to of the difference between holistic remedy and the evidence-based treatment. But this often requires a lot of work building trust and rapport with that specific person. Your sister may be able to have better insight into the psychology behind this. Love the show, though. Dan. Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, that's basically what we talked about the other day. But there is no convincing this person that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I've tried. Every time I see them, I try. And I'll keep trying. But they're convinced that that gooey root that they put on their knee is going to cure it. John wrote in, says, damn it, Scott, every time you play the Power Wheels commercials, I get that song stuck in my head all day. I'm the exact right age for those who played with every those two have played with every cartoon I watched as a kid.
Meaning have those been commercials. Played. So every commercial he watched as a kid played him.
Yeah.
So like a fiddle.
That makes sense. Have you ever thought about the Demolition Man prediction? We would listen to commercials for fun in the future, and you are fulfilling that prediction on your show? They also predicted Schwarzenegger as governor. Maybe it's time to take or to buy stock in Taco Bell. Love the show, though, John. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, no kidding.
I hadn't thought
about
that. Who
would have thought that, Demolition Man and Back to the Future would predict the future so well?
Yeah, see, this is the one we're talking about, by the way.
There's nothing like a Jeep. Tough will climb. Wheels team.
Power wheels. Power wheels. Power wheels. Power wheels.
Make them go. Do, do, do. There it is. Hope that helped, John.
Yeah, that just got it locked into his brain even more.
If you'd like to send your own emails in, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com. Leave voicemails at 801-471-0462. As always, we're on the web, frogpants.com/TMS. On Twitter, @Coverville, @ScottJohnson, @MorningStream. 2 p.m. Coverville, is that right?
That's right, 2 p.m. Right here on this very, well, not on this very live feed, but Coverville.com/live. Mm. That's where you can see it. And Alpha Geek Radio... channel 1.
Nice. Sounds good to me. And don't forget, support Alpha Geek Radio.
Yes,
where's
do that.
Where's his address? Here it is, tinyurl.com/alphageekupdate.
Update?
Upgrade, you're right.
Upgrade.
I wrote it down wrong. Upgrade. tinyurl.com/alphageekupgrade. And if you use that service, then you will want to support Todd and his efforts. Right. That's it. Let's get done. Let's be done. Do you have music for the end?
I do. Tall Geese wrote in, said, Dear Scratch and Balls, this song is for whenever. I heard it on a random Spotify list, and I thought I recognized the tune. Turns out it's a J-pop cover of French composer Eric Satie's Gymnopédie 1, a very interesting clash, which results, I think, in a pretty sweet cover to get people pumped up for the day. And just because I want Scott to play the clip, if you can't find this cover... The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch song.
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
All right.
P in slow-mo, signed Tall Geese in the Tadpool.
All right.
Well done. Yes, this is, let me pull it up here. This is Pine M, P-I-N-E star A-M, and it's a cover of, well, it's a tune called Gymnopédie 1, but it is a cover of French composer Eric. Let me find the name here. Eric Satie's Gymnopédie 1. It's confusing, but it's really good. It's from the 2005 album called Pull the Rabbit Ears. Here is Pine Am.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
My rhymes are fly, my beats are sick.